We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
A lot of ways to be a part of the program. Welcome back to the morning show on this Friday, big Friday, race clincher kind of Friday. You can interact with us on our Twitter at 929TheGame where those questions are up about the Braves defining moment. And
what are you going to do tonight at the Battery if you go? Like, if they clinch tonight, what is your plans? Are you going to, like, party like a rock star? Are you going to, like, take it, you know, in stride? Or are you just going to go all out and just be drunk for Saturday? Going to UGA, because I'm assuming that most people probably going to the Braves game, probably going to go to the Georgia game, Georgia Notre Dame game as well.
Yeah, a lot of people might be doing the double. You're right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I guess you get a break in a way that the Georgia Notre Dame game is not until 8 o'clock at night, so you have time to recover.
But if you go tonight, like say, if you stay and party late at night, so you're probably going to leave, I say the Battery, what, about midnight? So you're going to probably be, you know, lathered up, probably get up in the morning. Let's say at the latest, you leave for the tailgate around 2 o'clock, you're probably going to be in the, if you're going to leave about that time, because it's probably going to be, you know, a lot of traffic going out to Athens around that time. So, yeah, you're going to have to pace yourself. You got to figure this out, especially if it goes down tonight. It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend. Braves can clinch. Georgia Notre Dame. Atlanta United plays tomorrow afternoon at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against San Jose. And the Falcons are going to be in Indianapolis against the Colts. Now, one Falcon has a ridiculous stat attached to him. And in the course of talking to him in the locker room yesterday up in Flowery Branch, I mentioned this to him. I had a chance to talk to Desmond Trufant and that stat about how he has done something that no other cornerback in the NFL has done in nearly a decade. We have a couple of questions with Des Trufant, and we began that discussion by asking him about his impressive performance Sunday with his two interceptions.
Good game, you know, out there playing with a lot of energy, a lot of confidence, just having fun out there, and just playing aggressive, you know. Ball was coming my way, and just wanted to, you know, maximize my opportunities.
It was coming your way. You ever had a pick or a catch sitting down?
Nah, that was the first one of that, you know. So, I mean, however they come, however I get them, you know, I'll take it, you know.
I don't know, Desmond Trufant, if you've seen this stat, but through two games, it's the first time any defensive back in the NFL has had a 0.0 quarterback rating against him through two games in nearly a decade.
Oh, for real? Oh, I mean, yeah, that's dope. I mean, but it's still only two games, you know. It's a lot of football left. You know, I'm hungry for more. I'm ready to, you know, dominate the season. So I'm going to just keep my foot on the gas.
Desmond Trufant on the morning show with John and Hugh. Talk to me about this character to your left, Isaiah Oliver, and your running mates back with Rico and Keanu.
Yeah, we got a good group. You know, coming in this year, starting for the first time. You know, he's been making plays out there, playing confident. You know, Rico, Kiki coming back off an injury, and they've been playing fast, playing hungry. So we got a good group, man. We just got to, you know, keep building that chemistry, and, you know, we could do some damage.
You go into Sunday, no Andrew Luck. Now you get Jacoby Brissett. I mean, is there an adjustment in the way, Des, you have to kind of prepare for the game?
I mean, it's a little different, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to respect your opponent. Everybody's in the NFL. Everybody's here for a reason. You know, he's obviously, you know, a hungry guy trying to make his name in the league. So we expect him to attack us, you know. So we're going to, you know, come into this game, you know, ready for a battle.
And, of course, he has something that Andrew doesn't have. He may not have the vertical passing game, but he has the legs, and he can get around, contain on the edge.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely, you know, can make some plays with his legs. He throws, you know, real good, you know, into the boundary and, you know, to T.Y., they got a good connection. So we're just going to, you know, like I said, we're just going to come out, play aggressive, and, you know, make it tough on them.
You mentioned T.Y. Hilton, Desmond Trufant. Joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Tell me a little bit about what you see with T.Y., one of the better receivers in the game.
Yeah, he's been doing it a long time, got a lot of respect for him. I think I played against him my second or third year or whatever. So, yeah, he's a good player. He just keeps working. He's quick, fast, you know, can run all the routes. And so, you know, I'm excited for the challenge, and I know he is too. So, you know, I'm ready to compete.
Now, one final thing. The Eagles were so beat up after your game, they couldn't even practice on Wednesday. They had to just do a walkthrough. They didn't have enough players to be able to practice. Are you guys starting to develop that kind of new identity about bringing that, as Hugh says, that thigh out?
Yeah, man. I mean, we want to play fast and physical, you know. We got a lot of guys that can hit. We play, you know, we don't half step. We come with it. Our guys up front, they're rushing. In the back end, we're going to hit and cover. So we definitely trying to, you know, make our presence felt out there.
Yeah, it's always been fast. Now it's fast and physical with those guys out there in the in that defense now.
What was that stat you threw at him that he didn't know nothing about?
So his quarterback rating against is 0.0. In other words, he's allowed, I think, one catch for 6 yards. So the quarterbacks against him have a quarterback rating of 0.0 through two games. Rondy Barber, last defensive back to do it in 2010 through two games where his quarterback rating against was 0.0.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, interesting, I guess. Yeah, interesting.
You know, so, I mean, that's, you know, just nobody's been able to do anything against him. Two picks, one completion for 6 yards, which is really something. Now, when you go up against Jacoby Brissett, some of the keys to the game of the Colts and the Falcons on Sunday on the morning show with John and Hugh. Jacoby Brissett, Hugh, is he's not Andrew Luck, as I was talking about with Dez. He doesn't have that vertical game, but he's been very efficient this year. He's completing almost 70% of his passes. He's only thrown one pick in two games. And he has established a rapport with T.Y. Hilton because Hilton's already got 3 touchdowns on the year. So even though he's not Andrew Luck, you better respect the fact that he can beat you.
Yeah, and you better respect the fact that they can run the ball, and you better respect the fact that he can run the ball. You know, you're talking about one of the better – if I think they're the number one rated running team in the NFL right now. And with that being said, there's some cause for concern because, like, last week, the Falcons really, you know, they beat up on the Eagles. The Eagles really weren't a team that ran the ball that great. I think between the two of them, they didn't run over, like, 100 yards. That was a game where you know, neither running back had over 100 yards. So, now you're going up against a team that has a young quarterback back there in Jacoby Brissett that has some athletic ability, and you have a big running back back there for him in Mack. So that is going to be a test for the Atlanta Falcons because we look at their first sampling size of a bigger running back like Dalvin Cook. They didn't do that well against. Now you have the threat of a quarterback and the running back being able to move the ball on you. So that's going to be a tough task for them to line up against this week.
Right, and no doubt that what Indianapolis wants to do is go on long drives, run the football, shorten the game, and keep this a low-scoring game. Indianapolis cannot get in a track meet with the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons want to speed it up. I did see a stat, Hugh, where I think the Falcons have gone no huddle more than any other team in the NFL so far this season. And a lot of that was, last week against Philadelphia. The Falcons want to speed this game up. You know, they want to go fast. And Indianapolis wants to go slow. So that'll be contrasting styles between the two teams. It'll be kind of interesting to watch. What are some of your keys to the game between the Falcons and the Colts?
It's going to be to stop the run like it is every week. I don't think that the Falcons really are a team that is built to stop the run very, very well. This is going to be a tough test for them. This is going to be probably the same as it was in the first week where they're going to try to establish the run early and they're going to try to run the ball down your throat. You know, if you're running the ball successfully, then there's no need to throw the ball. I mean, that's just how it is. You throw the ball, like, just to keep people honest. You're talking about against the Minnesota Vikings where Kirk Cousins only had to throw the ball 10 times. I'm thinking that Indianapolis is going to probably come with that same game plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to come with that same game plan. They're going to try to control the clock. They're going to try to eat up as much time as they possibly can and then put the Atlanta Falcons in a position where they're going to get out of their game plan, and they're going to have to try to throw the ball more than they would like to throw the ball because when you look at it, John, they really haven't been able to establish the run yet. So if I go into the game knowing that they haven't really done a great job of establishing the run and they still, for the most part, have been a one-dimensional football team, I like my chances in winning that football game if I'm the Indianapolis Colts.
If Darius Leonard, who is their star linebacker, doesn't play in this game, he's in concussion protocol. You know, that could change a lot of things because Hugh, he's
a beast.
Yeah, one of these guys that everybody knows, for example, all fans know about a guy like Khalil Mack. You know, you'll know the big names. You may not know Darius Leonard, but he is in that, I mean, he's in that kind of grouping.
He's in that stratosphere. Yeah, South Carolina State was a rookie, was a rookie last year, had a hell of a rookie campaign. Dwight Freeney said that he's probably one of the better pass rushers that they've had in a long time. And you know where he played. He played in Indianapolis. So, yeah, Darius Leonard is that dude. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. So, and again, that will really, change how you maybe attack, that space if you're the Atlanta Falcons. Your keys to the game, you can interact with us, of course, at 929 The Game on Twitter, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke. You can certainly hit up the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and you always know the phone number, 404-741-0929. Okay, so we're talking about the keys to the game with the Falcons. Grady Jarrett against Quentin Nelson. We touched on it a little bit. Quentin Nelson, I don't know how you grade offensive linemen. I do know that what I see Hugh when they put out, he's the one offensive lineman, I think, in the NFL that gets like weekly viral memes of him doing something where he just slaughters somebody on the defensive line. That guy is some kind of good. He is some kind of all-pro good. And Grady against him would be an interesting, that's one of those games within a game. I can't wait to see that matchup.
That's always the matchup in the trenches, though, John. You got to look for like a guy like Grady Jarrett against one of the better tackles, because right now he is the straw that stirs the drink for the Atlanta Falcons. And if he's not getting pressure on the quarterback, that makes it a long day for everybody else, for all the players that are playing on the perimeter. If Grady Jarrett is not getting that pressure up the middle, then that makes it a long day for everybody. As a matter of fact, I think Grady Jarrett is leading the team in sacks right now, if I'm not mistaken. He's leading the team in sacks, so he is definitely the guy. If there was a bulletin board that the coaches have up, which I'm pretty sure they do, or when they're going in the meetings and they're talking about must-haves or must-stops, Grady Jarrett is probably the first name that they come across as a guy that they have to stop in order to have success, or you have to know where he is at all times when you're trying to run the football.
Yeah, everybody, we can all see how good Grady Jarrett not only is, but how he continues to get better. But Hugh, you as the all-pro in you and the defensive lineman in you, we've talked a lot about Vic and Tack. What have you seen in the first couple of games? You know, there have been a lot of discussion about whether Vic was going to live up to this. You know, what is it, however much money he's making this year when they picked up his fifth-year option, and about whether Tack could come out and be a force. Are you as an old lineman, happy with where they're at, or do you need to see more?
Tack's playing hard. I think when I was listening to Randy talk the other day, that's what he talked about. You know, Randy likes the fact that he's out there playing hard. He's around the football. He's definitely around the football. Kind of reminds me of another guy who I played with that was kind of like that. Didn't have he didn't show up a lot on the stat sheet, but the guy played hard, and he was a guy that you looked at that you knew he was going to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That was Mike Mamula. Mike Mamula was a guy that was known for playing really, really hard. But it's about making plays. You got to make plays. I like where they are now. You know, they're around the football. They're trying to make some things happen. They have to start showing up on the stat sheet. You know, it's only week two, so no pressure going into week three, but they're going to have to start showing up on the stat sheet.
Falcons and Colts Sunday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with you and Andy and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. 11 a.m., the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with Harry Douglas and Paul Crane. And, of course, the game is at 1 with Wes and Dave on Sports Radio, 90.10 The Game. The watch party, by the way, is going to be at Pin and Proper off Grant Street near Grant Park Sunday starting at noon. The Falcons will have the cheerleaders on site. Falcons alums are going to be there. They're going to be prizes and more. That's at Pin and Proper, located off Grant Street near Grant Park.
Under pressure.
Sunday starting at noon.
Under pressure.
Thursday Night Football. I'll tell you who's under a little bit of pressure. Antonio Brown under a little bit of pressure right now. What Antonio Brown has lost now, the very latest, this never-ending saga. I wonder if he's going to play on Sunday. I think he is. We'll check in on that as we continue with some of the NFL headlines around the corner after a CBS Sports Minute.
Shotgun two left, one right for Gardner Minshew. He drops the throw, four-man rush. Fires toward the end zone, once D.D. Chark in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Chark attack, and Jacksonville has extended the lead.
National Football League last night, Thursday Night Football on 90.10 The Game. That was from the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jags knock off the Tennessee Titans 20-7. And there's some grumbling going on up in Nashville this morning about the state of the Tennessee Titans and their offense, which has been anemic, to say the least. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. It was Hugh Saxonville last night. Boy, Campbell and Jacksonville went off nine sacks in the game. Nine in one game. And Marcus Mariota was under assault in that game. And Tennessee fans this morning, you can see them. I saw some on Twitter going, we got to make a change of quarterback. We got to do something. They're a little bit of panic mode up there.
You know what? That's not the first time I've heard that about Marcus Mariota. I heard he's not that good. And this comes from somebody who used to play with him a while ago. So to hear that, and then to hear the fans kind of going in on him like that, that's the tough spot to be in. But it's only three games into the season, and I'm pretty sure there's no plans of moving on from Marcus Mariota just yet. You know, there's no plans of that just yet.
I mean, you're going to go to Ryan Tannehill? I mean, that's the option.
Steals, daddy.
Right. I mean, that's your option, is to go to Ryan Tannehill as the backup, and we'll see. Now, Tennessee, interestingly enough, Tennessee's next game is here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Falcons. And so we'll get a chance to see about that. And again, we talk about quarterbacks, Hugh. Marcus Mariota, you could talk about, you know, ineffective offense and Derrick Henry not. Their offensive line was just a sieve last night. I don't care who you are. If you drop back and you got three guys about to sack you, what are you going to do if you're the quarterback? Is that really the quarterback's fault? I mean, good googly moogly, you know, as you say. I mean, it was unbelievable how bad it was. Just totally under assault.
Yeah, I mean, nine sacks kind of is an indicator that, you know, maybe you need to change something up a little bit. But, you know, I had to go back and look at some of those sacks. Some of them look like, you know, maybe he was holding the ball a little bit too long and, you know, just being indecisive on where he wanted to put the football. You know, some of those you could put on the defensive line when it's just a jailbreak, but some of those are checkdowns. You know, when you have a checkdown or something like that, John, you're supposed to always have like a safety valve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throw it to the back of something. A couple of those throws look like just – you know, Mariota just didn't look like he knew he wanted to go with the football.
Well, the Titans fall to 1-2, and so we'll see them again at Mercedes-Benz Stadium next week. Meantime, other notes in the NFL as we get towards week three here, or at least the full part of week three this Sunday and Monday. Antonio Brown, back in the news again. Huey lost his helmet deal with that company called Zenith, and I believe that's how it's pronounced, Zenith Helmets, X-E-N-I-T-H. Because of everything that was going on, you know, not just with, you know, leaving the Raiders, but everything else that's going on around him off the field. And now he's lost his deal with Nike. Nike's pulled his shoes. They pulled the deal. This is, you know, the first way. I mean, cost himself, well, I don't know how big his Nike deal was, but that's got to hurt. I mean, that's a lot of money.
I would agree. I would think that would be the case, John. I mean, you know, anytime anybody pulls, you know, funding from you or doesn't sponsor you anymore, that makes you feel like, you know, there's something that is coming out or something that they know that they're trying to get, you know, distance themselves from. And, you know, with all of this stuff swirling around Antonio Brown and now these new allegations coming out, I'm pretty sure nobody's going to want to be bothered with him at this point.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated has been kind of leading on this Antonio Brown stuff. They've taken it upon themselves to really, you know, dig into this. And now the latest is that he sent intimidating text messages, and SI's got the text messages. They're publishing them to this girl that made the allegations against him, and he's firing texts back, and they say they're intimidating. I don't know where this goes. The NFL's investigating all of this. I guess he's going to play Sunday, I think. I haven't heard otherwise. But I have a sense that this – do you have any idea if this is one of those things that just gives you a sense that it's not going to end well?
What does it give you a sense of, John? How do you feel about it?
I think that right now, if I'm the New England Patriots, I probably consider not playing him.
I don't know if that's an option for them right now. I mean, you know, until something concrete happens, you know, he's probably going to get a chance to play. You know, I know that's probably not the sentiment that a lot of people would like to hear or the answer that a lot of people would like to hear. But, you know, until these, until these text messages come out, you know, there's going to be a precedent that he gets to go out there and play. But my thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you talking? Like, if you're being accused of something, why are you even talking to those people that are accusing you? That's the worst thing you could do for yourself. I mean, that is the absolute worst thing that you can do, knowing that with your track record and everything that has happened to you in the past, that people are keeping every bit of correspondence that you're having with them. So why are you setting yourself up for the okey-doke by just responding to any of these texts or going out of your way to text these people thinking that you're going to intimidate somebody? That's not smart. If he's doing that, that's not smart at all.
Here's the other thing. Right. It's not smart. Set aside the fact that they're intimidating texts. What, does he think that they're going to stay private? The second he hits send, that it gets forwarded. Of course, which part of Sports Illustrated obviously has developed, the SI has developed a relationship with the accuser, that everything that that is Antonio Brown immediately goes to, I mean, it goes boom, boom. You know what I mean? It goes from Antonio to Hurd to Sports Illustrated. He might as well just set it straight to SI because Sports Illustrated is not going to let this go. They got their clutches on. Now, I'm an innocent until proven guilty guy, but I'm also a smoke and fire guy. And Hugh, right now, the smoke around him is so thick you can't see.
Yeah, it's a bad spot to be in. No question about that. If I'm AB, I'm just chill. Like, the best thing you could do is, like, not stay – like, stay off social media as much as you possibly can and play football. And you know, I know you're probably the type of person that, you know, kind of like me, you know, when you want all the smoke. Somebody say something to you, it's hard for you to sit there and let it go. And sometimes it's hard for you to get out of your petty. But this is a situation where you're talking about your livelihood. You're really on thin ice right now as far as, you know, what the team is potentially going to do with you and what's being said about you. Your best bet probably right now is to just play football and hang out with the kids and just be low key as you possibly can. But I think for him, that's probably something hard to do. That's probably the hardest thing he's going to do. Is not say a word.
Now, we'll certainly keep our eyes on it. And again, if you want to read the latest, Sports Illustrated at SI.com has the full story. And I say they're kind of the lead journalistic outlet on this because they obviously have developed a relationship with this accuser of Antonio Brown, or the multiple, actually, accusers of Antonio Brown that exist. Some of the NFL headlines with John and Hugh on this Friday morning leading to week three. We mentioned quarterbacks are us, and all the different quarterbacks of the league. Wonder if it's going to affect the ratings with all these quarterbacks that are not playing suddenly. Not that it's going to affect the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, who are just butt awful, have decided to make a change of quarterback. Big shock. They're going to put Josh Rosen.
The chosen Rosen.
That dude cannot catch a break. He goes from the Arizona Cardinals to the Miami Dolphins.
And thought he had a chance to start. And they gave him the opportunity to start, and he didn't get it. Now, I guess you're the best of the worst. I mean, the only thing I can say to Josh Rosen is this. Do the best that you can under the circumstances. Don't hold any grudges. I mean, it's still the NFL. You can still resurrect your career. You ain't been in that long, what, 3 years? This will be his third year in the NFL. You ain't been in that long, dog. Just do the best you can. Go out there and put some good game film out there. I'm speaking like he can hear me way down near Miami. But I'm just saying, somebody get him the message. Somebody get him the message, man. Just don't go in there with no animosity. Don't hate the game. Just go in there and play.
Now, if you believe in first-round picks and you think first-round picks win you championships, Lord knows the Miami Dolphins now and in the future are going to have oodles of first-round draft picks on their team. Because now Josh Rosen, obviously first-round pick, is going to be starting for him at quarterback. They're also going to have Taco Charlton playing against his old team, Dallas. I think he's probably going to be – I'm guessing he's going to be on the active roster. He wasn't on the Cowboys active roster, but, boy, Miami could use any help. They picked him up yesterday. So Taco didn't last long. He was claimed by the Dolphins off waivers. So here you got Taco Charlton. Hugh, when he came out of Michigan, I thought he was going to be a star.
You ain't the only one. A lot of other people thought the same thing. For him not to be dressed – and then for him to go on to Twitter and say that he wanted to be released, and then for them to actually grant him his wish. Dude, being a first-round draft pick nowadays don't mean what it used to mean. I remember, remember vividly talking about being a first-round draft pick and how much time you're going to get to actually, you know, become a player in the NFL. You got a little bit of time. Taco, if I'm not mistaken, came out the same year that Ezekiel Elliott came out. I think he was in that draft or one before, something like that. But the bottom line is this. He was one of the highly touted defensive linemen that was coming out in the draft. And now he gets cut and picked up by the Miami Dolphins. That's pretty interesting when you talk about first-round draft picks. I know he's not the first one. But when you think about the history of the draft and guys that have been drafted in the first round, sometimes it's a little bit surprising to see certain guys that go high as they go get released so early in their career. I mean, that's pretty early. So, wow. Now he's in Miami. Hopefully he can get a chance to resurrect his career down there. Probably not, though. Probably.
Yeah, he came out 28th pick of the 2017 draft, two picks in front of T.J. Watt. Yeah, T.J. Watt turned into a player. Of course, every one of those Watt kids is a player, right? You got W-A-T-T behind you, you're probably going to be pretty good. It's like Bosa anymore. Falcons, get ready for the Indianapolis Colts. What are your keys to the game? 404-741-0929. Let us know what you think the Falcons have to do to win this game on Sunday. On this Falcons Friday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a process. You know, it's a timing thing. These guys good in the NFL, D lineman, front seven, everywhere is good. But it's only a matter of time. You know, we all on the same page. We're clicking together. And just that chemistry coming together. And it's mostly important for us to, you know, keep working every day and keep fighting, keep striving.
That's Julio Jones talking about the fact that he believes that the Falcons' offense is just this close to being able to start to connect. And when they connect and they get it going, they're going to be an unstoppable force. Let's see if that happens. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting ready for Sunday's showdown between the Falcons and the Colts, which you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talking about some of the keys to the game, and people are weighing in on the Solomon Brothers. Diamond fans are weighing in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. And, of course, you can as well on the phone. And everybody seemed to be saying, they've got three or four of them in here, all saying stop the run, win the game. I know that that's kind of a cliche, Hugh, but when you're going up against a team like Indianapolis and Marlon Mack, stopping the run is going to be where the Falcons can, in fact, win the game. We've seen the Falcons have mixed results. They're 17th in the league in rush defense, largely because they were gashed early and often by the Minnesota Vikings, but they managed to clean that up against Philadelphia and were pretty stout against the Eagles.
Yeah, but I think that has something to do with the fact that the Eagles really don't have a running back the caliber of a Dalvin Cook, or I would even probably say, you know, the size of like a Marlon Mack or Jordan Williams. You know, that's a little bit different. You know, you talk about Darren Sproles, probably was their leading, if I'm not mistaken, was their leading rusher from the other night. And the Eagles had trouble establishing a run. That's not me. That I don't want anybody to think I'm taking anything away from the physicality that the Falcons played with or the way that they handled the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not what I'm doing. But when you look at the reality of it is this. You knocked out their two starting receivers, you know, and you left them kind of one-dimensional, and the running game really wasn't their bread and butter. You know, I mean, and hey, that's the way that it played out. You take advantage of that. This is going to be a little different. This is a team that has, over the last two games, if Marlon Mack plays, he's had over 40 carries. He's had 45 carries. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be a little bit more committed to running the ball than the Philadelphia Eagles were. They had 34 carries last week as opposed to 28 passing attempts. So they're going to be a little bit skewed more towards the run. And if I'm watching the film against the Atlanta Falcons, even though they played well last week, I'm going to test that. I'm testing that run theory. I'm going to test that theory. I'm going to see how well you've learned your lesson about setting the edge, playing stout consistently. That's what I'm going to come and see. I'm coming to see that, especially if Marlon Mack is healthy. You still got Jordan Wilkes back there that he's going to be a pretty good runner, and Nyheim Hines, and you got Jacoby Brissett who can potentially run the football. I'm testing you. I'm testing you to see have you learned your lesson from week one.
Talk to me, Hugh Douglas, about the defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. We talk a lot about it, about Grady Vic and Tack. But talk to me about Jack Crawford, Tyler Davison, Alan Bailey, what you're seeing from the two new guys, from Jack as he continues to grow as a player, and some of those guys that we don't talk a lot about.
Well, you basically, John, they're filling their roles. You know, they're trying to take some of that heat off of Grady. You saw a couple of times where they were taking on double team blocks and they were playing well. They're playing stout on the line of scrimmage. That's all you can really ask for. But the guy, to me, the one that makes it go is Grady, and you're trying to keep as much pressure off of Grady as you possibly can. And those guys are doing a good job of that. You know, it's still early. It's still early in the season. You know, and you know, I think Dave Archer talked about the way that the guys are playing up front and their contributions and things of that nature. But it's still early. So they're going to get better, and they're going to start showing up on the stat sheet. Jack Crawford and guys like that, they're going to start showing up on the stat sheet a little bit more.
Yeah, the offense is really going to be interesting to watch this week, too, because we don't know if Darius Leonard is going to play or not, but Indianapolis is pretty stout, you know, as Julio was talking about, on the defensive side of the football, and they're going to have to be a team, if they are going to win the AFC South for Frank Reich this year, because of not having Andrew Luck, they're going to have to be a team that wins by running the football and by being a stout defensive team, which they are. But even if they are a stout defensive team, I just get a sense that the Falcons can get this offense going and cranked up, that it has the potential to look a little bit I'm not going to say exactly like 2016 because that was such a special offense, but with the weapons that they have, if they could keep Matt Ryan clean and give him some time and develop some kind of a running game to slow that rush down, they're going to be able to do stuff. Here's the interesting thing to me about this game. Do the Indianapolis Colts, Hugh, look at the game film of what Philadelphia did and go with zero, you know, a zero package, which is basically bring the house like Philadelphia did to try to disrupt the Falcons?
You got to have personnel in order to do it like that. I don't know that much about the secondary for the Indianapolis Colts, and I do know we were just talking about Darius Leonard. He's a big part of their pass rush. If he's not playing, John, I don't think zero blitz would be a good call for them. But on the flip side of that, you have an offense that you feel that you're probably going into the game feeling that you can move the ball against this Atlanta Falcons defense. That's probably the feeling that you have. And, again, I go back to the game last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. You're talking about 21 rushing attempts by the Philadelphia Eagles for 49 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Not a big threat. That's right. Not a big threat.
It's not.
So I'm going to I'm testing your run game. Because just like I said, Miles Sanders had 10 carries for 28 yards in that game. That's not establishing the run. I'm testing your run game. I'm seeing if you can line up, because you're talking about bigger backs. I don't know the exact size. Let me see how big Miles Sanders is. But you're talking about the backs for the Indianapolis Colts. They're like 200-plus, 209, something like that. You're going against some big stout dudes. Miles Sanders was coming in at what? He was 211. That's 5'11", 211. 5'11", 211. But you're talking about 6'1", 216 pounds or something like that, and they're running the ball. They're battering rams. They're going to try to run the ball at you. If I'm attacking the Atlanta Falcons this weekend, that's the first thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to establish the run, because we saw what happens when you do that against this team. I'm establishing the run. I'm coming after the quarterback. I'm not really respecting – defensively, I'm not really respecting – the passing, the running game. So I'm lining up and I'm playing pass every down. As far as going zero blitz, probably wouldn't take that chance with the secondary. Like I said, don't know that much about the secondary for the Colts, but with Julio Jones out there and now seeing what Calvin really has brought to the table, probably not going to take that chance going zero blitz, especially if I'm in a position where I can control the clock by running the football against this football team.
Yeah, their best secondary guy, Pierre Desir, is probably going to be lined up against Julio, and a lot of it'll be interesting to see if they move him side to side and match him up. One thing true about the Indianapolis Colts, they have 8 sacks already. Autry already has 2.5. I didn't think Autry was going to be the player he is when he came out of Mississippi State, but he is. Leonard's got a sack. Justin Houston's got a sack. And we had talked about whether or not we were going to have the Falcons. Did Justin Houston have anything left in the tank? The answer apparently is yes, you know, for the old Wiley veteran.
For two games in, he got something. I hear you. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's great for him. I mean, that he's able to get to the quarterback like that. I mean, but to me, it's going to come down to whether or not the Falcons can stop the run. That's going to be the issue with the Falcons this weekend, is whether or not they can stop the run.
Hey, we're going to talk more about the Falcons coming up in the program, and you can join us. If you think you've got chili game, can you make a mean pot of chili?
No venison.
I'm with you on that, no venison.
Deer meat, Abe. Deer meat.
The chili cook-off is going to be at our tailgate October the 5th, 11 to 5, Home Depot backyard. Hey, sign up your tailgate team now. Bring your best chili. Go to 929thegame.com to our events page and sign up for the chili cook-off October the 5th, 11 to 5 at the Home Depot backyard at our 4th annual tailgate fest, to show us what kind of chili game you got. Maybe it makes a pretty good taco chili, not going to lie. But we're not going to enter. We're just going to be there to judge your chili. Alan Rossum. Talk about a guy who can return some kicks for the Atlanta Falcons. He's also a domer. Going to talk to him about Georgia and Notre Dame and more. And Alan's going to join the program next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.